Well, we've been talking about the words and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had a delightful time earlier this week when I had probably a one-hour discussion with someone, and we went through a story in the Bible. I was a captive audience, and the questions just kept coming. So I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 36, and I'd like us to have in mind the words and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see that in these pictures, these physical pictures, is a spiritual picture of what it is for a child of God to come. And the children of God come in many and varied ways. The children of God in Luke chapter 7 verse 36 is where we're going to be. This, like all of the children of God, as a fallen child of Adam, she came into this world a sinner. Just a sinner. A sinner is someone who not just sins, but a sinner is someone for whom sin is what they are. And our great God and our great shepherd came to find these lost sheep and to put them on his shoulder. And one of the glorious things about the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with the wayward and lost sheep and the lepers and the needy in this world is he touched them. It's an amazing thing to contemplate, isn't it, that there will come a time when we will physically be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is said to wipe every tear from our eyes. How close will we be with him for all eternity? This lady we read about in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 and following is a picture of one of those. And the extraordinary thing about this particular lady is she doesn't actually say a word. But her life and her testimony speaks volumes. We do love reading that verse in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, isn't it? The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And the reason she doesn't say a word is that Jeremiah in verse 9 goes on to say that they shall come with weeping and with supplications. That means pleas. She comes pleading with the Lord without saying a word. She comes weeping to the Lord. With weeping and supplications will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ drawing one of his daughters to himself. And she's a picture of the church being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just read it and then we'll briefly look at it, and I just want us to have it in light of what we've been looking at the words and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the Pharisees, verse 36 of Luke 7, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, this is where we have to have our eyes fixed, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who And what manner of woman this is that toucheth him? For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For, because she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Isn't that a lovely story? What a remarkable picture of how the Lord draws his people to himself, allows himself to be touched by them, to draw them into worship. That's the purpose of the Lord drawing sinners to him, isn't he? He says, Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel call is come, isn't it? All that the Father has given me shall come to me. All that is taught of the Father will come to me. Now come. But this is how the children of God come. And she gets to hear the most remarkable words that anyone in this life could ever hear. He speaks a word and says, Thy sins are forgiven. And there's no if. There's no if, is there? Thy sins are forgiven, and there are no conditions. He forgives sovereignly. He forgives freely. He forgives completely. When he says her sins are forgiven, he's effectively saying to her that her sins are gone altogether. So where did her sins go? Her sins were evident. Her sins were open sins, weren't they? They were very evident to all. The sins of this lady, like all of the sins of all of the bride of Christ, were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father, and God the Father crushed him. It pleased the Father, Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to bruise him. For the joy set before him, the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross. What is the joy? The joy of glorifying his Father's name, the joy of having people like this woman and like us in his very presence forever. Forgiven. Forgiven. So let's go back through this story, and I'll just look at it briefly before we take the Lord's Supper. And I want us to put ourselves in the position of this lady and find ourselves, Lord willing, hearing the Lord say these words to us: "Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace." So the Lord Jesus Christ went to a Pharisee's house, and obviously the Pharisee didn't want him there other than to have him as some exhibition. There was no sense of love, there was no sense of devotion. In fact, on his entrance to the Pharisee's house, he is completely and utterly dishonoured by the Pharisee. Completely and utterly dishonoured. It's a shocking thing that he's done. But why did the Lord Jesus Christ go there? Because this was the place where he was going to meet this lady. This was the place where he was going to say these extraordinary words, and that we would have them written down for us. And behold, I love that word behold. It means much more than just to look upon. It means to gaze upon. It doesn't mean to glance at. You actually behold. You're requested of God to behold. You're to take careful note of what's going on here. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. And no doubt she was a notorious sinner. The Pharisee will go on to describe her in his thoughts. She's a notorious sinner. She's an open sinner. She's a public sinner. She may well have been a prostitute or something along those lines, but she was, in the eyes of all of those people, the lowest of the low that could possibly be there. She had no man to take her into the presence of the Lord. She was just there on her own because her presence was shameful to other people. And yet she still came. She still came. She came drawn by him. And she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She came prepared. She came prepared to honour him and to anoint his feet. How precious it is, the odour of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which goes up to heaven. That high priest took that finely ground herbs and spices, and they ground them finely, which speaks of the crushing of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he took the coals off the altar, and he went in and he put the coals on the incense, that special particular incense, and he took that into the Holy of Holies, and that filled the temple. And that's what Isaiah, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the cloud, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ filled the temple. The odour of his sacrifice goes up to heaven, and God's people go with him there. But I love her attitude. She came despite all the embarrassment. She came despite what she knew that the Pharisee would say about her. She came knowing what other people would say about her as she walked there. And she stood at his feet, verse 38. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And we know what her tears are. They're tears of love. That's what the Lord goes on to say, doesn't he? She'd heard about him. She'd heard about how he's the friend of sinners, the friend of publicans and sinners. She stood behind his feet weeping. And then she began to wash his feet with her tears. I love the fact that as she got closer to him, she became more and more humble, didn't she? She stood weeping, and then she began to wash his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with the hairs of her head. She can't wipe them with the hairs of her head unless she's bowed down. And then she kissed his feet. Isn't it a glorious picture of how sinners come into the presence of God Almighty? And he anointed them with his feet. And the Pharisee saw it. And it's just, isn't it wonderful to know right now that the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's going on in our minds? He knows the thoughts of our hearts. And you, like me, have so many thoughts which are so dishonouring to him. But I'm so thankful that nothing in my life is hidden from him. And certainly nothing of what his enemies are doing is hidden from him. He spake within himself. He uttered these words in his mind, this man, if he were a prophet. Listen to how demeaning he is to the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, this man. Sometimes these Pharisees couldn't even bring themselves to declare him to be a man. If he were a prophet, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is, because he allowed her to touch him. And in that society, touching and having meals together is a sign of acceptance of that person in your presence. He allowed her, not only did he allow her, he drew her there. He's sovereign over all this. He drew her to that place where she was touching him, for she is a sinner. And the Lord gives a great answer, doesn't he? He answers this man's thoughts. Don't you love it when you're open the Bible and you find your thoughts are laid bare before you and they're answered by the Lord? Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have someone to say unto you. There was a certain creditor, verse 41, which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence, the other 50, and they both had nothing to pay. That's exactly where every child of Adam is. You have nothing to pay. You don't come bargaining with God, saying to God, if I do this, 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 and this, then you will do something for me. It's exactly what the Pharisees' religion was all about. That's what works religion is all about, isn't it? It's coming into the presence of God, bargaining with him. Somehow, if we can sort of corral him to get him to do what we want him to do. You've got nothing to pay. You've got nothing to pay. Nothing. Not just a little bit. Nothing. Not free will. Not free works, not religious works, nothing, nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them both. He freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose, even then he can't tell the truth, can he? I suppose, dear oh dear. To whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast judged rightly. And I love what verse 44 says, he turned to the woman. Up until this stage, he's ignored the woman. And there she is at his feet weeping. And he hasn't said a word to her. And he said unto Simon, so he holds up, just like the Lord Jesus Christ still does, he holds up his trophies of grace before this religious world and says, look how I save my bride. Look at my bride. Look at what she is. Look at her love. And he said to Simon, seest thou this woman? We spoke about this earlier. He treats the Lord Jesus Christ with utter contempt. Why? Because he believed himself to be righteous. He believed himself to be righteous. Who treats the Lord Jesus Christ with contempt in this world today, religious and otherwise? Those who believe themselves to be righteous. Those who believe themselves to be in a place where they can stand in judgment of God Almighty and stand in judgment of his word and say again and again, we will not have this man to reign over us. I won't have a Lord as he describes himself and proclaims himself to be in this world. This Pharisee had known. He'd known from the very beginning that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am God. This temple is mine. I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I am the Christ of God. He knew exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ's claims were. I entered into thine house and they gave me no water for my feet, and she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came it has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. the Lord Jesus Christ will be honoured by his people in this world. He will be honoured by his people. The religious world can do as it likes, but the Lord Jesus Christ will draw people like this woman to himself, bowing, weeping, loving him. The religious world will treat the Lord Jesus Christ with contempt right until the very end, but the Lord's people see something. She saw something in him that the religious world didn't see at all. She saw an object of worship. She saw an object of adoration. And all of that before he had said a word to her, and all of that before she knew that her sins were going to be forgiven. No wonder he says to her, "Thy faith has saved thee." Where did that faith come from? We know that faith is the gift of God. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many," and that's a great description of every child of God, "our sins are many." The leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Luke says that he was full of leprosy, full of leprosy. "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Why? Because she loved much. Oh, may the Lord cause us to love him because he's first loved us. When he's first loved us, what is it like? Is it much or little? Behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. She loved much. She loved much. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." If only a little is forgiven, then there's an awful lot that's not forgiven. How many sins do you need to have to spend eternity under the judgment of God in hell? One tiny sin against, because the problem is not our understanding of sin, it's that sin is against an infinitely holy and infinitely just God. "And he said unto her," these are his first words to her. First words, the first acknowledgement of her. He turns to her in verse 44, and now he speaks to her. He says, "Thy sins are forgiven." Thy sins are forgiven. They're completely forgiven. They are completely blotted out. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow," is the promise. Thy sins are forgiven. "And they that sat at meat began to say within themselves, who is this?" What a great question. That's the great question, isn't it? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this man who looks like an ordinary man? This man who looks as if he is someone that can be treated with contempt by the people of this world and the religious people of this world. Who is he? Who is he? "Who is this that forgiveth sin, that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee." Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. It was her faith. What was it, her faith? Because God gave it to her. That's why when the Lord's prayed for Peter, he says, "I pray that your faith fail not." Did Peter's faith fail? Not at all. "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She'd heard the very words of God. She just believed. May the Lord paint this picture on our hearts and remind us of how he draws his people. So how do we hear the words of love and mercy? When we've been humbled. When does peace come? When faith and love receive his word. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that he's coming 2,000 years ago, pictures his coming into the hearts of his people, his bride, throughout this time until time will be no more. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, for the completeness of his finished work, that the sins of all of his bride are forgiven. Our Heavenly Father, please cause us to love much because we know we have been forgiven much. And please, Heavenly Father, allow us to take the posture of this sweet bride of your dear and precious sons, that we might come weeping, that we might bow, we might kiss the Son. Now, Father, we pray that as we eat and drink in remembrance of what he's done, we would find ourselves hearing from him, "Go in peace, your faith has saved you." We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory, our Father. Amen.